Okay, let's go. I could call for a moment of silence, please. Stand. Pledge of allegiance, please.
Pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, can we have a roll call, please?
Charlie Hopkins.
Here.
Dennis Olison.
Here.
Bonnie Anya.
Here.
Harry Robinson.
Here.
Steve Lawrenson.
Here.
Clark Cotner.
Here.
Paul Greeno.
Okay, I don't see any audience, so I assume there's no audience participation. Do we have any written communication?
No written communication.
Okay, consent agenda. We have approval of bills in the amount of $91,285.12 and approval of the February 10, 2014 council minutes. I'd be entertaining a motion, please.
So moved. Second.
Okay, moved and seconded. Any questions or comments? Call for the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Next item, council action items. First item is the 2014 ETAC financial assistance. Mr. City Manager, are you going to handle that one?
I'll just make a brief presentation on behalf of Debbie tonight. And I'd really probably turn it over to Councilman Lawrenson for any specific questions. But as you recall, the council approved the overall budget last fall for the BTAC with the idea that this winter, after the Simiamu money came in, there was a better handle on the cash flow, that the BTAC committee would get together and work through the recommendations. And that's been done. The information is included in your packet. And I would be happy to take a look at that and work through you, or just Councilman Lawrence to answer any questions. I think he's the chair of that committee and knows more about it than probably anybody in the room.
Steve, do you want to have a comment on it at all?
The committee did an excellent job, and of course everybody always wants more than we can afford, but I think this is a workable for everyone. All the existing programs will be able to continue on, and so I would recommend that we go ahead and approve it.
Okay. BTAC and the staff recommend that the council approve the city manager to execute the financial assistance agreement per the included list. Care to make a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Are there any questions or comments?
Question.
Question. Mr. Greeno?
Stephen, if our income next year were to be the same as our income this year, would we be able to afford grants of this size again?
My answer would be yes, I feel so. You know, there's no guarantee how the motel is going to do, and that was part of our comment to the applicants, that we can't guarantee this is an ongoing thing.
So I made my comment with the assumption that if our income next year were the same, in other words, if the motels do equally well next year as they did this year, then we would be able to fund
it. Yes.
Any other comments, questions? Okay, call for the vote. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 7-0. Next item is setting a public hearing for impact fees. Mr. City Manager, will you be handling that?
I'll make a brief comment, and then I think Raven can also address it as well. Just as a matter of fact, I guess, the last study session, we didn't have a full house of council members, and so I just wanted to provide you that we're certainly willing to come back and present to the full council again in the study session. We have Raven here tonight who could probably walk through the presentation that's included in your packet as, you know, copies of the PowerPoint. So really I just wanted to let you know we're aware that some council members weren't available that night. So I'll turn it over to Raven now.
Just as a comment for those that weren't in attendance, recommended this be included in your kit presentation so that if you would like Raven to walk through it, advisable for anybody that wants any additional information.
And I was just kind of planning on breezing through anyway, if everyone would like.
Before you spend a lot of time on this, I wonder if it might be better to go through maybe an abbreviated version. I don't know if you need to go through everything at the night of the public hearing, because we might have, and I don't know what you're planning on doing then, but I think it would be sufficient for me to do it that night and to vote that night probably.
Sure.
But I certainly would like the public to hear a certain amount of detail about this and the thought that went into it.
Certainly. I think our plan for the public hearing was to bring you the draft ordinance. And what this kind of shows, in addition to some background that we did cover through the budget process, so a lot of these slides should actually look pretty familiar. We have one slide in here called approach, and that really is probably the one I want to cover with you tonight, just to be sure that this is in fact the approach you want us to proceed with when we bring you the ordinance. And that is, our intent was to leave the framework of the 1998 provision intact. That is when the traffic impact fees were originally imposed, was in 98, and then they were removed in 1999, or excuse me, 2009.
Raven, before you go too much further, as one of the absentees for the last time, as was Bonnie, I joined with Bonnie in saying that for me, it's not necessary to subject the rest of the council to going through these slides.
Okay.
I'd be perfectly happy to see them during the public hearing.
Okay. So provided that it's you're in sync with our approach, that'll be what we'll do. We'll just,
great.
I'll stop here after going through this approach slide, because I don't want to bring you the ordinance if you don't like the approach. Is that okay? Just to briefly cover that one slide.
Is everyone comfortable with that?
And the main thing that we wanted to kind of emphasize in the approach is we see going through the upcoming comp plan changes that Public Works and Planning will be bringing forward over the next couple of years, that traffic impact fees and how they're assessed is going to be part of that comp plan. So instead of trying to reinvent the wheel and speed up that track so fast, our hope was to enact the previously approved provisions. We've covered it with John Sitkin. They were not challenged. They have, you know, some basis in law in that we did them for 11 years and they were not challenged and so forth. We would keep the formula that was part of that previous provision the same. We cleaned it up in terms of things like the fire impact fee, since we no longer have a city fire department. That didn't make any sense to keep in there. But for the most part, that is the ordinance we're going to bring to you, is the 1998 ordinance cleaned up for 2014. And then moving forward, we would be, like I said, through the comp plan process, working through the more permanent solution. So that was our approach. That's how we've drafted the ordinance. That's what we'll bring to you in a couple of weeks, if that sounds good.
So and if we're looking for a motion that would set a public hearing for the regular City Council meeting on March the 10th in consideration of the final action of an ordinance to re-implement transportation and park impact fees to the 2009 level.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, moved and seconded. Are there any other questions or comments? If not, call for the vote. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Recommendation carries 7-0.
Thank you,
Raven. Next item is the amendment number 13 with the Reichardt and EV Design and Management Well Pumping and Distribution Facilities. And that's yours, Raven?
Yeah, it is, sir. So first, we're bringing forward this amendment number 13. It sounds like, wow, you guys have been working on this a long time. Why are there 13 amendments? And I just thought I'd cover that real quickly. And this is something that my predecessor and I don't do the same. And that is, he had a bunch of water projects he wanted to get done. He put them all in one contract one consultant, and as they came forward or as they needed to, they amended them. So this has been amended 12 other times, primarily for contract extensions, although there were additional fees added through the course of that time relating to construction and Well 9 electrical, Harvey Pipeline, intertie. So there were various previous extensions. What we are doing is we're finishing. So instead of starting a new contract with Reichart Niebuhr, they're already got a significant amount of the design work done. This is for the upgrading 5.1 and finishing 8.1, something that has been in the works, like I said, for a long time, as has this whole scope. We feel that this is enough to finish the project through construction. We're adding an electrical engineer to the design of the project as well as controls, because when they did 5.1, that was an issue during construction, and we want to address that. But what I wanted to share with you is, moving forward with other projects, it is not my intention to handle in this way. We'll have a contract for one project. And we might have amendments for that one project. I can never say that I would never do an amendment. We usually do an amendment anyway for construction services because they're hard to scope out before the design is started. But moving forward, I'd be bringing you one project at a time, I guess is what I wanted to say. That being said, this amendment will take the total contract to $251,000. This amendment is for $50,000 and $50,030. It finishes this project. This is a vital component to our water system. We're looking most likely at construction this fall. Once this project is completed, we'll have Lincoln Park online with our telemetry, so that's really exciting. And we will have all the benefits of 5.1, which is one of our biggest water-bearing wells, will be completely online.
Yes, Dennis.
So this is just for the engineering, and the construction will be a separate.
That's correct. This takes us through bidding, the construction will be bid and awarded as a separate contract.
Do you have any idea what that cost would be?
I brought everything but my CIP with me on the computer. I can look that up for you, Dennis. It is outlined in our CIP for construction in 2014, but I'll have to look it up. I will let you know before you leave today.
Raven, just a question. We have $251,733.50 if we approve this. What was the original estimate? I always kind of feel like I'm approving blank checks. And I never know what the heck it is.
And I appreciate that. And that's why I wanted to be forthright and tell you why I won't do this in the future. This included for $114,765 design for distribution well number 9. They added $73,592 for well 5R. They then added another $36,000, almost $37,000 for the drilling of 8.1. And then when we did the, now that we're doing the final phase of this, we are adding that additional $50,000. So it, like I said, it wasn't for one project, and it makes it muddy. Paper I gave you is what I approve pay estimates upon. So each time we do a pay estimate, whether it's for construction or for design, it comes out of what's the contract remaining there. So we had about $26,000 left in that long series of projects, and this is what we need to get this one finished.
So it's 20, basically it's just 25 over what you expected.
Well, it's actually $50,000 over, and I think largely that is because we're taking it through construction, and originally it was only design. And then we've added the electrical and controls element, which by doing it in ahead of construction, you're saving construction costs. We ended up having a lot of change orders when we did 5.1 because that stuff wasn't figured out.
So there's no issues in the water budget or anything like that?
No. No, it's identified in our CIP and completely funded. It's identified as 5.1, 8.1, and that's why this is confusing.
Is there an estimate as to how much increase in water capacity than the city will have based on those wells?
I'll have to look into that for you. I know that this is putting in a more robust pump in 5.1, and then it's taking the pump that's in 5.1 and putting it into 8.1 so we can commission 8.1. So it's going to improve 5.1 and then add the capacity of 8.1, but I don't have that number in front of me. It's probably in the comp plan.
Okay, we'll look forward for a motion to have the City Council authorize the City Manager to execute a contract amendment to the existing Reichardt and EV Engineering, Inc. contract in an amount not to exceed $50,030.
So moved.
So moved.
Seconded.
Are there any other questions or comments for Raven? If not, I'll call for the vote. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries 7-0.
And I'll follow up with an email with those items. Thank you very much.
Okay. Since we don't have the Northern Light reporter here and we have no one in the audience, in a matter of speeding up the commission, committee, and board reports, rather than call them out individually, is there anyone on the council that would like to make a report? Go ahead, Charlie.
Yeah, for the Drayton Harbor Shellfish, they haven't met very much tonight. Times haven't been able to be there. But this time, they did the current testing with the dye and stuff like that, and they found out basically what most everybody knew that's been around here, that the water that comes out the creek goes almost directly out the channel. It doesn't drift around the harbor, which creates some questions why there's some areas that still have problems. Another thing that came up was that because there's always been this perception that because the winter rains, which caused the closures, is washing stuff down the creeks. Well, we haven't had any rain this year, this winter, basically, to cause these things. But we're still getting high fecal coliform counts out in the bay. And so now they're kind of looking at the idea, because we've had a lot of wind storms that the turbulence, maybe there's a buildup on the bottom, and then maybe the turbulence of the waves on the mudflats are stirring up something that's, you know, being just left on the bottom. So that was going on. Through a grant from the state park system, they have a pump-out boat which will go around to in Semiahmoo Marina or at Blaine Harbor that will pump out this holding tanks, which is, makes it a lot easier than pushing the stupid cart around the docks. And it'll be modern, real good equipment to use. And so that's going to help with maybe people accidentally dumping into the harbor. Carl Weiner was there, and he talked about that he's proposing working on the water issues in the county. And one of the things is going to try and do is provide a funding mechanism for the watershed so that we can actually have some kind of a minimal fund to be able to do testing on the creeks and stuff like that, because they actually know where the pollution that is in the creeks is coming from, and so they're for an ongoing testing and stuff like that. And so anyway, the county council is going to be working on that, and I would hope the city of Blaine would support Carl in his trying to get this changed. I'll have more about it when it comes up. I guess that's it. Thank you.
Dennis, do you have any?
Nope.
Bonnie?
Chair? chamber meeting last time, Dave gave a presentation on what's going on. Very well received. And the Bite of Blaine was great. And if you weren't there, you missed a good evening.
Steve? Clark?
No, sir.
Paul?
Nothing.
Okay, anything for me? David, do you have anything that you want to comment on? There's Parks and Cemeteries and the Small Cities Caucus and the Council of Governments and Finance and North Squadron Fire update. I'll ask the chief in just a second.
So just a brief update. We'll give you a much more detailed one at the next meeting just because of the night's weather conditions and so forth. Chief, did you want to talk a bit about the proposed changes? Were you want to wait on that?
I can just hand them out.
Hand them out tonight? Okay, that'd be good. And then, I don't know, Raven, did you have anything in particular? For tonight, we can do that. And Michael's out today. He came in earlier today. He's not feeling well. Next time we get together, I'll talk about the RFQ that we have for the Gateway property, and I've got a list of things to talk about, so I can just defer those to the next meeting.
Okay. Chief, did you have something you would like to hand out? Forward to getting it at the next meeting. Chief Hollander.
Good evening, Council. I shared with you our monthly Chief's report, and everything's kind of status quo, nothing too exciting to report. I would like to give you a little bit of information on the Semiahmoo Marina. As you know, we've been working about a year on them to get their get compliancy with the fire code there. And as of last Friday, we've come to a handshake agreement, a two-phase approach. They're going to immediately install some temporary pipes to get some water out on the docks, and then they'll be submitting a permitted plan to build out the whole system with all the appropriate valvage and so forth. And I don't know. It was just kind of coincidental that the same evening there was that. I don't know if you saw on the news the big boat fire in LeConnor.
Yes.
And just timing. So we're making great progress, and they expect the temporary standpipe system to be in about 3 to 4 weeks. So that's huge, and then the rest will start early September, the big project.
Any questions for the chief?
Yes.
Paul?
I continue to be concerned about the Port of Bellingham and enforcing their policies in the Blaine Marina boathouses. In whose court is the ball at this point? Do we have to do something? Does the court have to do something?
If we want to have the same fire code standards that Bellingham, I don't think they've adopted it yet, but I've given you the proposed language.
You did. I have another email from Pam, somebody who evidently represents the Port of Bellingham, and I'm having a bit of trouble reconciling the two. So I feel like Alice and I down the rabbit hole again.
Yeah. Well, what we'll have to do is first we'll have to adopt this is going to be a progress we're going to do this next year is adopt the 2012 fire code.
Okay.
And then we'll adopt the appendages with the amendments, and then we can copy the Bellingham ones if that's what you'd like for boathouses. And then the same rules would apply in Bellingham would apply here at the boathouse here. And there's only a boathouse on the Blaine side. There are no boathouses on the Semiahmoo side.
Okay,
it's a process.
What can we do to move the process forward?
It's on my calendar to put it in the process this year, this spring, but I don't know how to expedite it, and I'm not quite sure if there's anything we can do with an existing boathouse unless they're planning a remodel.
Actually, I read what you had given me several weeks back, and to my surprise, it did include language saying it applied retroactively.
Retroactive.
So okay. That seems to be less of an issue.
Good. Than
we had been concerned. Okay, would it be fair to say then that the ball is in the city's court to propose legislation adopting the same rules that the Port of Bellingham is using in the Port of Bellingham?
That would be fair to say, yeah.
That seems to me to be the next step. If there is an existing set of regulations and there is a model from Bellingham that we can use for Blaine regulation, unless there's some compelling reason why we shouldn't, my feeling would be seems to be a simple piece of legislation.
Yeah.
Let's start it.
I don't think Bellingham's adopted it yet.
Okay.
I'd like to wait till we get the adopted language from them. The final adopted language, and then implement that at the same time that the city adopts the 2012 fire code.
Okay.
And then make it all one package, and then the appendices on the back of the fire code will then differentiate the boathouse and the boathouse ordinances for the city of Blaine.
Okay.
That would be the process.
That works for me. I was confused because the legislation that's pending is City of Bellingham, and what it's adopting is Port of Bellingham 2012 policy, if I understand the distinction correctly, one of which had, the 2012 piece has in fact been approved by the port. The city is in the process of approving that in a legislative sense.
Okay.
Is that the fair distinction between the two things?
Yeah, I don't know exactly what the port's adopted and hasn't adopted.
Okay.
But I will continue down that path for you, and okay. I understand where you're trying to get. And we'll work together in getting there.
And as a boat owner, and having read the Lacana piece myself, I would dearly love to have that not fall through the cracks somewhere along the line.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I'll keep that on.
Thank you, Chief.
Keep that on the front burner. Yes, sir.
Is the Blaine Marina, is that the Port of Bellingham?
That's owned by the Port of Bellingham.
And the rules are that are at the port in Bellingham. Aren't they the same as Port of Blaine?
No. No, because it's the Port of Bellingham. The harbors within the city limits of Blaine are under the rules of the city of, or City of Bellingham are under the rules of the adopted rules of the City of Bellingham.
Same as Blaine.
And Blaine would be the city's rule, the adopted rules of the City of Blaine would apply to this marina. Same owner.
Okay.
You could have a different set of rules adopted.
Yeah.
It all starts with the International Fire Code, and then you come down. And then the state adopts that, and then the cities and the counties adopt it with their own little tweaks specific to their areas. And in this case, we'll take a look at that language for boathouses that Bellingham's going to put in, and we'll add that to the adoption here for the city. And then once it's adopted, then we can begin the enforcement.
Great. Thank you, Chief.
Okay.
Any other questions for the Chief?
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. David and Raven, you want to? You got some things on the department reports.
Yeah, I just wanted to follow up with Dennis. The CIP for that project is $380,000 for the 5.1-8.1 conversion. In terms of a project update, snow removal has been pretty big with us the last couple of days. We're happy to say that all the arterials were plowed yesterday, and they went out again this morning, and they were done before people were out on the road. So we're proud of that. you brought up the Drayton Harbor Shellfish Protection District. I was actually asked to go to the meeting last week to do a little presentation on Lighthouse Point, and unfortunately I only got that a couple of days ahead of the meeting, but I did follow up with her and offer to come back out at a future date. I think it's really important that Public Works continue to work with that body and working on water quality issues. Our Lighthouse Point basement project is done. We're very, very happy with how it worked out, and the contractor was excellent. Should be no change orders or anything of that kind, so it was one of those happy tales. And then quickly, a couple of developing pieces of news. One is we've been contacted by Wave Cable, who's formerly BlackRock Cable, to lease them some of our spare conduit on Boblet so that they can extend fiber out from the school district offices to PROPAC area. We met with them last week. We're in dialogue with them. Our feeling on this is it may be a potential way to get fiber to the airport property. So we're cooperating, but we're also making sure that we're looking out for our interests there as well. And kind of a funny development in Vista Terrace, you know, that project, now that we have the DOE grant, we feel funded, and we're working with Reichardt Beebe to get that started. But we've actually been contacted by a builder about a building permit on Allen Street, about 400 feet from H Street. And 400 feet is more than what would normally require us to say you need to build the sewer. 200 feet is the magic number. But it is just so heinous to me to think about someone putting in a septic system because we're 400 feet away from a sewer in an area where we have an approved ULID, just because we're not ready in the same time frame. So we've talked to our respective attorneys relating to the ULID as well as the land development aspect, and we're going to look at sequencing our project to do Allen Street this summer, so that we can get sewer up to and probably past this particular builder, and that assessment will help pay for the project, which is also funded through a series of public works trust fund and such. Yes, Mr. Potter.
Did you say you're going to put sewer on Allen Street? All those are on septic, aren't they?
They're all on septic. When we did 8th Street, before I started, so I guess that's 3 or 4 years ago now, we did extend sewer, and we did tie in a couple of properties that were, 40, 50 feet from the sewer main. This is 400 and something feet, so it's a little beyond what we can just say, yeah, go do. The problem is, if he does it himself, not wanting to spend the money on an assessment or in the construction instead of putting in a septic system, which is to no one's benefit, we would have to pull those properties out of the ULID, and we don't feel that's in anybody's interest. It's an approved ULID. We have funding. We just need to prioritize it and make it ready for this particular property.
So how many houses down the street is there?
There's probably 4 or 5 houses before him.
What if the one's in between one of the two?
Then they're more than welcome. That's why we want to do it as part of the ULID. All of those properties are part of the...
Because I know two people that live there, and they've asked me about it a couple of times, and they actually want it.
Yeah, and that's our hope. And the full project has a lot of challenges that are going to need to get worked out with property owner consultation and so forth. But the Allen Street piece is actually quite simple. It's not very deep. It's a straight piece of pipe. Restoration is fairly minimal. So we think this is very doable to do this summer. If your friends want to get a hold of us, we can figure out.
Second house.
Oh, perfect. Perfect. So that's exactly what we want to hear.
Across the street.
Great. So I'll keep you apprised of that, but I just wanted to let you know we've been noodling this around for a few weeks now, working with the builder. Fortunately, he is also very cooperative. He's like, I don't want to build a septic system. It doesn't make any sense. Been working with the building department because we have certain requirements before you can release a building permit and so forth. I think it's doable. We're just going to reprioritize what we had planned to do this year a little bit to make it happen. So I'm really excited. That's all. Yes, Mr. Lawrenson.
Raven, I know you've been busy the last few days, but I know we lost one of the Welcome to Blaine signs. I chased some kids off it on Saturday. Are we going to try to get that to the shop pretty soon? My other part of the concern is the other two that are standing and not braced are about ready to go also. They're all in the same shape. It's a bad design, unfortunately.
Thank you for letting me know about the kids. Yes, we're aware of it. Our plan was to address all three of them. If we're going to need to come up with a fix for one, we might as well do all three. So, and the other thing we've been looking at is getting LED lights for them because the light fixtures are very costly to replace. So knowing that you're having some issues with some youth, we'll go ahead and bring it to the shop. We hadn't planned to because there's no public safety issue with where it is, but okay.
The sign was expensive. It's worth getting the protection.
Yep. Thank you.
Yes,
Tony. Raven, with this sewer project we're going to do, are we going to be able to get the street lights up before or around the same time?
No, that is contingent on the PSC agreement.
Any closer on that?
Well, they put us off till March. The person that was working on their end on the agreement language got called off assignment. So it's on my calendar to follow up with them next week.
Okay, so the ball's in their court as far as?
The ball's in their court. The deal is that we are under your direction to pursue the service area agreement, and so we've been diligently working on that, but those wheels grind very slowly. Our other alternative is to say to the service area agreement and tell them to move their power line. That would obviously have some ramifications in terms of that relationship with that particular utility. And it also goes against your direction to have a service area agreement so that they have where they have power and we have where we have power. So it's one of those
you may have
shell games.
Residents up there questioning, okay, now they're putting the sewer line.
The sewer line's already in on 8th Street.
I know, I mean,
but
for Vista Terrace to hook into is what
yeah.
I'm saying. And that they might be thinking, not realizing that we're doing our part and it's just moving very slowly because of Puget. So
okay.
We might have to make that clear to everybody.
I'd be happy to.
You could do a press release.
When that time comes, sure. Yeah, I mean, my hope is, you know, because we've kind of agreed on the boundaries with them, and that was a big part of it. Now it's just legalese and getting John working with their attorney and so forth. So, I mean, the biggest part of where I was thinking the time-consuming part is really done. But now it's just getting those legal beagles together, and their guy got called away.
I think the press release might be good. It might put a little pressure on Puget, too,
if
they know there's a press release out there. And not that we're going to lambaste Puget, but to point out that, you know, it's up to them to move us along.
I'll work with Randy on that. Thank you for the idea.
Any other questions for Raven? Are you done? David, I don't think we have any other. Okay, we have the calendars. We have a Planning Commission meeting on the 27th, and we have our regular council meeting on the 10th. And so those are the next two meetings on the calendar. Is there any unfinished business?
Harry, I just want to mention, I went to the legislative open house on Saturday. And there is the House Bill 2347 that's supposed to be set up now, or it's in the process. And it's to study the state's ability to respond to oil train accidents. So there is something going on, maybe.
Right. I think Doug Erickson's involved in that, is he not?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Any other unfinished business? Any new business? If you're hearing none, I'll adjourn the meeting. I was hoping for 6:30, but we've made 6:39.